Let's profess what we believe together. We're using Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47. I will read the question, and let's say the answer together. And while we're doing this, and I see it's happening, children are going out. They're going out to the C4C, and that's children ages 3 through preschool. So if you're a visitor here, and you're wondering where they're all going, and you want your child to be part of that, bring them back there. You'll find them afterwards. They're going to teach them, and they're going to have a great time together. Let's say together this question answer. I'll do the question, as I said, and all together. What does the first petition mean? Hallowed be your name means help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always be honored and praised. The scripture that we are reading today is first from Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and faithfulness, why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him, but their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but they cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and blesses us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And then from the New Testament, in Romans chapter 11, we read these words. This is a doxology that the apostle wrote at the end of this chapter. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I started to talk about this with the children, and now I want to dig a little deeper, although I have to say we've already defined in what we were singing what it means to be holy. What does it mean to be a holy God and to be hallowed by him? I talk to the children because I know I never thought about it for decades. You know, it just was not something that I thought I had to know and define. I just prayed that prayer until I really thought about it and what it meant. So I hope that even what I did with the children will help us all understand more fully what we do when we hallow his name and what it means to be holy. Now, Merriam-Webster defines holy this way. He says, holy is exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Now, that's a really good definition. I like it. But that's not the way the Bible necessarily uses the word holy. It doesn't mean that those things aren't part of holy, but that's not the way the Bible uses the word holy. The Bible uses it in this way, more like we find even in the songs that we sang, that God is separate and set apart. The word in Hebrew is Kadosh, and we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Three times we say that about God, because he's three persons, and every person of God is holy, set apart. So this is the primary use in the Bible when we say that God is holy. Even when we think about the things that God asked people to make and they were called holy. For instance, in the temple there was the holy lamp, there was the holy Ark of the Covenant, and there was the Holy of Holies. They did not have in themselves holiness. Their holiness was derived holiness from God himself, who alone is completely holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Only God is completely holy. Only God. He is in a class, if you want to use that word, by himself. There's no one like him. No one like him at all. He alone is holy. So then to hallow, the definition again that Webster gives is to make holy or set apart for holy use. And that's what we do. We dedicate a building like this one. We dedicate it to holy use. But it's more this. Now, I don't like the word brand that was in this definition I found. It says to brand something as sacred or holy. I would rather say declare, because that gets at the meaning, I think, of what the Bible is telling us to do. When Jesus said to pray, hallowed be thy name, you want to declare in your prayer, the very first thing you want to declare is that God is holy, that he's completely above everything else. Certainly it means that he's perfect in goodness and righteousness. That's an indication of his holiness. But there's much, much more. So he's a holy God. And this may all sound very theological and very like, so what? I've known that forever, that God is a holy God. Now how am I going to apply that? And I want you to listen to the end, because I'm going to soar for a while. I'm going to soar up in the clouds, and I want you to go with me. It's not going to be that easy to stay there all the time. But we're going to stay there, but eventually I'll get down to earth. So we hallow his name. So when we pray, we're saying, may your name, the name above every other name, be hallowed by everybody in heaven and earth. May everybody declare you holy, because your name is like no other name. How did this psalm start? Three words we have to hear. Not to us. Not to us. O Lord, not to us. It's repeated because we need to hear that. Because what happens is, as human beings, we want what belongs to God alone. We want glory. We want what belongs to him alone. So the psalmist says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Now, it's because, you see, when we start to give glory to ourselves, we start and we make idols. Now, when I look around here, there's no idols. You know, there's nothing that anybody would bow down to. Well, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe there are some idols. And how do you know if they're idols? You know that they're idols if there's something that you made in your mind or something that you made with your own physical abilities and you have decided that it is holy. Right? Then it's to you. We made this marvelous building. We did this. We erected this. It's so wonderful. You know, that's to us. We start to take credit for it. We start to say us and not God. We want the glory, you see. Well, we did that. We did that. But not to us. Must be a problem when you have to say it twice in Scripture, not to us. You have to draw attention to it then that this is what people do because people make idols. People make idols. The church building. Instruments. Musicians. Singers. Pastors. Man-made crosses. They all can be idols. We don't make a little image that we put here now and we bow down to, but we can make almost anything an idol. And we often do. We often do. It's not to us, you see. It's not the things that we've created. It's not the things that we're doing. I mean, how often hasn't it happened that some musician or some great singing artist has become an idol, even a Christian one? Because I'm not talking now about the idolatry of the heathens who go to concerts and they worship people and sing ridiculous things, in my mind anyway. They're kind of frivolous. But anyway, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what happens in the church. People can become idols. I respect the Gettys and the music that they write. But I'm never going to bow down to them. I'm never going to say that they deserve my praise and that they deserve glory. And you know, from what I know of them, they wouldn't want that either because they want everything to address to God. They want Him to get the glory. But we do that. This is the nature of human beings. They want something tangible that they see that they can respond to. But if we make it and we adore it, and we glory in it, then it's to us. And it's to an idol. So be careful. Be careful about that, that we do not make idols. Because only the Lord is holy. And then there's that thing in the psalm that is pretty daunting. He says, the people who make those idols, they're going to be like those idols. They're going to be impotent. They can't do anything. Can an idol talk? Can an idol feel? Can an idol see? Can an idol speak? Of course not. They can't do any of those things. In fact, they are totally dependent on whoever made them to get to where they have to go. You know, they have to be picked up. They have to be set on a shelf. They can't do anything. And this is what happens to the church when the church has made idols of things. They become powerless. The gospel message is not declared. Things are not done as the way they should be done. God Himself is not glorified. And they then become like their idols. And they fail. And so we must be very careful that we do not become ineffective and unable to do what God wants us to do. Because rather than doing that, we ought to do this, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do you want to glorify God? First of all, because this great and awesome God loves you. He loves you. How do you know that he loves you? What did he do? He did something that I can't even imagine. His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, was given for you and for me. And that's love. To love someone so much that you would die in their place. You and I deserve to die. And Jesus took our place. Now that's love. And God loved his people all throughout the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament. He loves them today with that same saving, redeeming love. That's why he's to be glorified. Because of what he's done and what he does. He loves us. And he's faithful in everything. Now this is like two sides of the same coin, isn't it? Because when you love someone, you're always going to be faithful too. You do both things. You love, and it's expressed in faithfulness. Has God ever failed? Has God ever failed? No! God has never failed. He's forever faithful. He makes a promise. Some of you probably saw the rainbows in the sky last night. I saw a picture once someone put on Facebook. Every time I see a rainbow, I think of this truth. God is faithful. He made a promise. He will hold to his promise. He loves us. He's faithful. That's why we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Because it's new every morning. We see it all the time. So we give glory to God because he loves, because he's faithful, and because he's the maker of heaven and earth. This was down farther in that psalm. It talks about that. It says in verse 12, may you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Everything that exists came into existence because God made it. Not because you and I made it, but because God made it. He's the maker of everything. There's nothing that exists that has not been made by God. He's the great maker. And so he deserves all glory. Now here's what's happening. The creation is constantly declaring his glory. I love to go to the mountains. I love to see a magnificent waterfall. I love to see all that because when I'm there, I can almost hear God shouting, look at my majesty, look at my glory, and these are nothing compared to me. And I made them. I made the seas that thunder against the coast. I made every creature that is in the sea. I made every ear of corn. You didn't make it. He made it. He's the mighty maker, and he deserves all glory and honor and praise. That's who he is. And so the Psalms ends with, it is we who extol the Lord, not just today, but now and forevermore. You know, we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is it ever going to stop that his name is being hallowed? No! Now we're not doing it perfectly here, but one day when we get to heaven, we'll all perfectly hallow his name. We'll sing hallelujahs. We'll praise him. We'll be unabashed as we go before the Lord Almighty. And we will extol him. Because that's really another way to say hallow his name. We're going to extol him. We're going to lift him up. We're going to praise him. We're going to say that he's above every name. We're going to extol him forever and ever. I can hardly wait to be there in the presence of God with the thousands upon thousands that are there, the angels, the archangels, the mysterious creatures that he's created that are praising him all the time. And the thunderous applause of heaven will roll on forever and ever. This is our God. This is what we have to know. Because he's great and greatly to be praised. To God be the glory. And as the Apostle Paul says, he almost breaks into a song, I think, at the end of chapter 11. It's just like, I can't contain myself now. I just have to say all these things. You know, glory for the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Is anyone wiser than God? Does anyone have greater knowledge than God? Of course not. Of course not. And where are you going to go for wisdom? Don't come to me. You can come to me, but if I give you wisdom, it's not from me. Wisdom is from God. And James says, if you don't have wisdom, ask. Ask, because God wants to give wisdom. He's the source of all wisdom. He's the source of all knowledge. Come to God. Come to God and be wise. For all truly wise people give glory to the Lord and hallow his name. You see, there's wisdom in doing that because that's who God is, and we want to praise him. To God be the glory forever. Because all things are from him, through him, and to him. Three prepositions that cover it all. From, through, and to. Everything is for God and his glory. And now is the time to land the plane. I've been up here somewhat in the clouds with you. I hope there were some applications in there while we were going along. I think there were. But now I want to bring this down to earth a lot more. And I'm going to do it by telling you this, first of all, the opening of our prayer. You know, it seems like there's two things there that don't go together. Our Father, Abba, you know, this personal relationship, and then, above all, holy. Now, it's those two things together. Those two things together that give us eternal hope and peace. If he was just our Father, what would we have? But because he's Almighty God, because he's holy, because he's like no other, he is able to do whatever we need now and always. And now I'm going to really make it personal. I have a story to tell you about a man. His name was Jerry Leap, and because of Jerry, I have this on my desk all the time. I don't know, y'all, you have it on the screen too, for his glory and our good. When I met Jerry, he was dying of cancer. He did not have a long time to live, but every time I got together with Jerry, he would always say to me, it's for his glory and for our good. Always he would say that. And I'd leave marveling. I think, you're on death's door. You're not complaining. You're not afraid. It's for his glory and our good. And I know he was convinced. The last time I saw him alive, I went with an elder and we served him communion. I think these were the last words he said to me. And his testimony transformed a lot of people. It was a pretty good-sized church that I was serving at that time. But when it came to the funeral, it was an overflow crowd. People I had no idea who they were. Unbelievers came to church that day to hear about God. For his glory and for our good. He said that to the people that worked for him. He was a dairy farmer. had many helpers. He said that the people he ran into, he let them know that it was for his glory and our good. Did he know how it was all going to work out? Not necessarily. But he believed and hallowed the name of the Lord God Almighty because he knew and lived in the strength of our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And so, it was for his glory in our good. I don't know what you're facing in your life, but I know who God is, and I know what he does, and I know he deserves all glory and honor and praise. His name should be hallowed now and forever, and those who do that can face life no matter the circumstances, because God is greater than anything that's happening in your life. And God is able to get you through. One day, unless the Lord comes, we're all going to face death. We're all going to do it. Are we going to say it's for his glory and our good? Are we going to be content no matter the circumstances of life? Because we have learned we have a Father in heaven whose name is hallowed above every name. I hope you know that. And so I'm going to go back up here and we're going to pray together that Lord's Prayer right now. Will you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.